for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But apart from looking for lost Easter eggs, how many of you spend quite a lot of time looking for things that you've lost or misplaced? Quite a lot of time. I reckon one of the most frequent questions I am asked is, where is my school bag, shoes, wallet, keys? Wallet? I've normally hidden that. What are you joking? Phone, socks, you name it. That's the most frequent question. Where is it? And unless you're one of those, you know, totally organized people, a place for everything and everything in its place, most of us spend a lot of time looking for things that we've lost. This is the unfortunate thing. As you get older, you start looking for something that you've lost, and then you wonder what it is you're actually looking for. But on a completely different level, all of us are searching. We are searching for something in life. We're looking for something in life, but the thing is, not even all of us are aware of what exactly it is that we're searching for. Here's how you can know that you're searching for that missing thing. You have an inner sense that there is just something missing in your life. You can't escape from the feeling that no matter what you do, where you go, what you buy, it doesn't fill that inner sense of emptiness that you feel for more than a short time. Well, this evening, you're in the right place, because I can tell you that what you are missing is a relationship with Jesus Christ, the living Lord. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're missing. He is the only one who can satisfy that inner emptiness that you feel. Before we speak a bit more about that, I want to read from Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. That's obviously to Jesus' tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. This evening, I want to give you 2 points. You're looking for life, but you're looking in the wrong place. And life is found in a living person whose name is Jesus. So you're looking for life. A verse I often quote in my preaching is Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God created you. And I want this to be very personal tonight. God has created you in his own image. And the reason God created you was so that you could have a relationship with him and live with him forever. This was God's original blueprint for humanity when he created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden to care for it. But you know that humanity's perfect relationship with God was broken by the sin of Adam and Eve. They willfully chose to disobey God and the word of God. And from that moment, every single human being born into this world is born tainted by sin and separated from a holy and pure God. We inherited the sin of Adam and Eve. Two of the most well-known Bible verses that teach this truth are Psalm 51, verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin isn't just the wrong things and the bad things we do. The Bible tells us from our conception, we were sinful. We were sinful even at our birth. Who of you knows you don't have to teach a child to have a temper tantrum? You don't have to teach them to tell a lie. You don't have to teach them to disobey, because it's in us. We are tainted by the sin of Adam and Eve. No one has been born since the time of Adam and Eve without the sin, apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It affects us all. Everywhere we look in this world, you see the results of it. When we look at our own hearts, we see the results of it. But one thing we still do possess as human beings, even in our sinful state, is a spiritual awareness of eternity. Because God has placed it in our hearts. We have a sense within us that this life ought to be more than just existing and then dying. We have a longing for a deeper sense of fulfillment and meaning in our lives, and an awareness that death is not the end. This is what that means when the Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. It says, of course, people try to suppress that. Some people try to deny it. Some people just say, well, I'm searching for something, but I don't know what it is. Or some people have maybe given up searching and feel that life is meaningless. Maybe you've almost given up. Maybe you think, I can't find that fulfillment that I'm longing for. You're looking in all the wrong places. You are looking for life. Maybe you thought you needed another job, a change of direction, maybe a new relationship or a new house or a new car or some new clothes or a new night out. You've tried it all. And yet you have to admit, after the initial thrill of getting whatever it is, you're still as empty as before. Many people in this world are running after this thing and that thing, the next adventure, the next thing to fulfill that emptiness. And yet they discover, after the excitement wears off, I just feel the same as before. You're doing something that is natural to all human beings. You're trying to fill the spiritual void in your life. But the problem is, you're looking in all the wrong places. The angel said to the woman at the tomb of Jesus, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And that's the same question I'm asking you this evening. You are looking for life, real life, spiritual life, but you're looking among the dead. You're looking in dead things, temporary things, which cannot fulfill you. Life is found in a living person, Jesus Christ. Another very well-known verse in the Bible, spoken by Jesus himself, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That verse perfectly summarizes the contrast between what Jesus offers and what the devil does. We've already spoken about people's search, and maybe your search, for life in all the wrong places. That's what the thief encourages. He wants you to believe that you will be able to fill your spiritual needs with material things, with relationships, with experiences. But as you know, they leave you empty. And slowly but surely, he begins to rob your life. His ultimate aim, of course, is to make you always feel just something else, to get that elusive fulfillment. But his ultimate goal is to keep you from knowing where true life can truly be found. He wants to destroy you in hell with him forever. That is his aim. Jesus said, in complete contrast, he said, the reason I have come is so that you may have life, life, and have it to the full. He knows we can't find this life by ourselves because of our problem of sin separating us from God. But that's why he came. He came and he died on that cross, taking your sin, your shame, your punishment. And Easter Sunday, is it not all about the celebration of his resurrection from the dead? He rose from the dead because he is life. As Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. What a message of hope that is. What a message of hope. I am the resurrection and the life. He is the living one. He is the only one who can give you real life. Spiritual life, the life that you're actually craving for, searching for. Everywhere else you look is temporary, it's unfulfilling ultimately. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and he offers us the gift of eternal life, available to anyone who will truly come and put their trust in him. You know, this life, it's not just an insurance policy for heaven. I mean, it does guarantee heaven when we die, but it's more than that. He came to give life here and now. He came to give you life, real life. I was just thinking this morning, the service, and, you know, we're here and we're celebrating Jesus being alive. And yet there is no doubt we live in a world full of sorrow and trouble, sickness and death. And sometimes the scale of it can sometimes overwhelm us. And we look around and we just look at the mess and the chaos. Jesus speaks into that, this world of mess and chaos and sickness and war and suffering and death. And he says, I give life. There's hope. I was thinking as we're singing this morning, we as believers are waiting a great and a glorious day when he is going to return. And all of us who know him and love him, we're going to go and be with him. And you know, when he returns and when he sets up his kingdom, there will be no war, sickness, suffering, or death. He will absolutely create new heavens and a new earth. That is the hope of every believer. And maybe you look around and you're thinking, you know, is there anything after this? Oh, yes, there is. There is an eternity. But only those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ now will share in that glorious eternity with him. Only those. The others will be cut off from the love of God forever. Friends, Jesus tonight is offering you life. But you need to accept it. You need to reach out your hand and your heart and say, Lord, I believe. It's possible because he died and he was raised to life. When the woman went to that tomb, you know, they were walking along. Mark's gospel tells us they were walking along and they were talking to each other. And they're wondering, how are we going to roll the stone away? And then they got to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus with these spices and perfumes they prepared. And they found the stone was already rolled away. They went into the tomb and they were even more amazed then, because not only was the stone rolled away, where was the dead body of Jesus? In that moment, they could not comprehend what was going on. Where was Jesus' dead body? Those women had stood and witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. They were witnesses of his death. The Bible also tells us that when Joseph of Arimathea got permission from Pilate to take Jesus' body from the cross, to wrap it in linen and put it into the tomb, they were sitting there watching him. They watched him as a stone was rolled over the entrance and as Joseph walked away. They watched him. So where was Jesus? And then as they're wondering, suddenly, two men, white clothes, glistening, bright like lightning, stood before them. I mean, the woman automatically down on their knees, reverence, recognizing these are angelic figures. They knew it, and they reminded them of Jesus' own words, that he must, underline, that he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Listen to this from before. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 9:22. And Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Luke 18:31-34. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. But now these two angels are saying to the woman, do you remember what he said? And of course, now they remembered. But they hadn't been able to grasp what he was talking about, because in their minds, they knew criminals are crucified. Bad people are crucified. Bad people are killed. Who could point a finger at Jesus? They didn't understand. He was crucified for them. He was crucified for you. When he was crucified, their whole world fell apart. And yet here in this empty tomb, the angels are telling them, he is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He has risen. Jesus had spoken about being the resurrection and the life. He said he had authority to lay down his life and authority to take it up again. The angels were right. He must be crucified, not for his own sins, but for yours and for mine. But his death was not the end. His resurrection is absolute proof that the Father accepted his death on our behalf. Absolute proof. God raised him to life for our justification. He was delivered over to death for our sins, Romans 4:25, and raised to life for our justification. That's a legal word. Do you know what it means? It means the moment you put your trust in Jesus, he declares, God declares you righteous. That is incredible. People say, I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm trying to be good. No. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, your sins are forgiven and God declares you righteous in his sight. Amazing. He is life itself. Jesus is life. He has the power to give you eternal life. I'm not asking you to believe in a church or to believe in some person. I'm asking you to believe in Jesus. You've been looking for life, but you've been looking in the wrong places. He alone is the living one. He alone is the life that you are looking for. Let's pray. This evening, I want to give you the opportunity to put your trust in Jesus. You know that God has been speaking to you, and you know that you are searching for life. And you know you've been looking in all the wrong places. But you know that there's a spiritual void within you that only Jesus can fill. You want to trust in him tonight to be your Savior. I'm going to pray a prayer tonight, and I ask that you pray this after me. I'll pray it slowly. You don't need to pray out loud. Maybe just repeat it in your own heart. God knows if you're genuinely calling on him, and he hears the prayer of your heart. Father God, I thank you that you love me. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I confess my sin to you now. I turn away from it. I ask you to cleanse me. Forgive me. Be my Savior. I put my trust in you this night. I give my whole life to you. Help me to follow you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to enable me to walk in your ways. Thank you, I can take you at your word. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.